Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much for tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, for it's our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and divine Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment, favorable or unfavorable concerning something that we may say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject and you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program. Certainly we'd like to hear from you. You can contact us by the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Saul, who was later become to be known as the Apostle Paul, was born in Tarsus, which was a city in Cilicia. In Acts 22 and verse 3, we read this. He also was a Hebrew of the Hebrews that he makes mention in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 5. Saul was undoubtedly immersed in the teaching of Judaism from his earliest years. At some point in his youth, Paul had went to Jerusalem where he sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the most highly regarded rabbis in Jewish history. Saul thus received the finest training available in both the law of Moses as well as in the spoken tradition of the Jews. This again is said in Acts 22 and verse 3. But yet like Gamaliel, Saul was a member of the strictest of the Judaism sects. He was a Pharisee. And this we know from Acts 26, verse 5. One of his uncommon, because of his uncommon zeal and ability, young Saul advanced rapidly in the Jewish religion. In fact, he even surpassed his peers, as he makes mention in Galatians 1 and verse 4. I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. His extreme zeal for this Jewish faith was particularly evident in his reaction to the early success of Christians. Considering the religion of Christ to be a false religion based upon deception and the claims of someone that he considered to be an imposter, Saul passionately sought to destroy it. Where we were there in Galatians 1 and verse 14, let's back up to verse 13. For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it. So when members of the Sanhedrin had stoned Stephen, Saul was the one that kept the outer garments of those who threw the stones. This we read in Acts 7 and verse 58. And then Saul led a vicious attack on the disciples of Christ. He inflicted upon them imprisonment, suffering, and death. Let's turn to Acts chapter 8 and read the first three verses. Now Saul was consenting to his death. That would be the death of Stephen. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house, and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. But we see that God had other things in mind for Saul. In Galatians chapter 1, we read this in verses 15 and 16. He said, and when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through the grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood. So to serve as an apostle, we see that one had to be an eyewitness of the resurrected Jesus. This was one of the qualifications that an apostle had to have. And so in Acts 1, when they are choosing the replacement for Judas, who had been the betrayer and had hanged himself, what we see in Acts 1, verse 22, sees the qualification of an apostle. From the beginning of the baptism of John to that day, when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So for this reason, Jesus appeared to Saul as Saul was approaching Damascus, to which he was going there with authority to arrest Christians that might be in that city. Now, Saul knew that the Jesus, whose disciples he had so viciously persecuted, was indeed the Christ, and he's now ready to submit to the Lord's will. And upon the Lord's instruction, Saul went into Damascus, where he waited, fasted, and prayed, till Ananias came to him and talked to him about God's plan for him, and commanded him to arise and be baptized. In Acts 22, let's begin reading at verse 13. He came to me and stood and said to me, Brother Saul, receive your sight. And at that same hour I looked upon him. Then he said, The God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. And now while you wait, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And so we see then, from that time on, Saul, who we know better as Paul, devoted his life to preaching the gospel that he had once taught. He renounced his portion, his promising career in Judaism. He renounced the Jewish religion as the means of salvation. He states this in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 4. Although I might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else seems to have confidence in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were counted to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I might gain Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So we see then that whereas he had inflicted suffering on Christians, he now endured suffering as a Christian. Paul took three journeys, beginning at Antioch of Syria, and going into the Gentile world, he spread the gospel. On these journeys, he endured beatings, stoning, imprisonment, and dangers, but nothing slowed him down from his mission. Saul had turned from a fanatical enemy of Christ to a dedicated, zealous disciple of Christ, who was willing to sacrifice everything, including his own life, to serve Christ. Radical change in Paul's life, it's truly nothing but amazing. But as an amazing change is required of all that would come to Christ. One arises from his burial and baptism to walk in the newness of life. That's stated in Romans 6 and verse 4. Peter observed that others thought that Christians were strange because now they're no longer conducting themselves as they had in the past. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and thou wilt read verses 3 and 4. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. See, those who are Christians, their pure, holy lives were such a radical departure from their immoral past behavior that their neighbors were astonished. They were amazed. The radical change begins in the heart. Those whose hearts have been set on material things or earthly pleasures now set their affection on things above, as Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2 teaches. As Paul, they look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen, as stated in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 18. Those who had a defiant or an indifferent attitude toward their Creator now view Him with the deepest reverence and love. Those who were unconcerned about right and wrong now hate all that is evil and love the good. They repent of their sins, that is, they determine within their hearts to quit their sinful conduct and begin living according to God's will. And this is a necessary part of conversion to Christ. It's why Peter, in that very first gospel sermon, made the statement in Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you. And as a result of a radically new way of thinking, the behavior of Christians changes radically. Serving Christ is now first in their lives, and they know that it comes at a cost. Jesus explained that in Luke 14, verses 25 to 33, when he talked about how that someone that built a tower, or how that a king going out against an army, must first sit down and determine if he is able to pay the price. And certainly we must be willing to do that, or else we will come short. Else we will not be victorious. They will diligently seek to live more holy lives. They'll forsake long-standing ties with any unscriptural religious denomination, even if it means criticism from friends and even being cast out of their own families. They will get out of adulterous relationships that they may have been involved for many years. They'll quit using the filthy language that characterizes those that they work with. They'll quit dressing in provocative, indecent attire. Instead, they will begin dressing so as to project an image of godliness and chastity. They will abstain from lascivious forms of recreation, such as lustful dancing. And they will do what 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 says, flee youthful lust. See, they will recognize that one is not fleeing these youthful lusts if he deliberately engages in activities that is designed to arouse those kind of lust. And so then, yes, Peter said, some will think such behavior strange. Such changes in life, they're not always easy, but problems and difficulties must not hinder one whose way of thinking had changed in keeping with truth. Let's join Paul in making that transformation and finally be able to say as he did, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we turn you to our announcer. Magnify, oh
magnify. Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbottville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.